Let's continue our journey through some of the letters of the New Testament that tell us what flows from the Lord's resurrection on that first Easter day. Consider this, says Paul to the Christians in Rome. In the same way that Jesus died and was then raised to new life, that has to be the same for you as well. And that's the meaning of baptism, though it's not always understood that way. But wait a minute, somebody may ask. How can I die the same way that Jesus did and come back to life again? Death is the end of my earthly life, surely. Yes, that's a good question. But what Paul is talking about is how you die to an old way of life and rise again to a new way of living. Have you ever been at a service where an adult is baptized, not with a few drops of water from a rather nice little font, but in a huge tank filled with water, or at a riverbank, or in the sea? What you see there is the candidate dunked completely under the water, probably three times. Each time, they disappear from view. Then they suddenly burst upward out of the water. It's a powerful picture of death and resurrection. In the early centuries of the church, adults were baptized at Easter after a long period of careful preparation. I read somewhere that shortly before they were baptized, there was a ceremony of renunciation. They turned to the west, the direction of the setting sun, of the end of the day, and they renounced everything that they knew was wrong about the way they had lived. Then they faced east, the direction of the rising sun, of a new day dawning, to embrace a new way of living. What resurrection means here is the death of an old way of life and the birth of a new one. Sometimes it's a dramatic turn of events. I once met a man who was a confidence trickster, that is, until he became a Christian. He left it all behind. Sometimes it's rather less spectacular than that. In the same church where I met the ex-con man, I also met Rick, Jack, and Stephen. I was still a research student at university, and I was visiting an old school friend and his wife. He took me to the men's fellowship of the church they belonged to. Those three guys made a huge impression on me. I played darts and bowls with them all evening. We drank coffee together. In some ways, they were very ordinary, but there was something different about them. They weren't religious, they didn't preach at me. I had no faith in those days. But I liked what I saw, what they seemed to quietly radiate. Ah, I can hear Paul say, that's exactly the sort of thing I had in mind.